I had one of my lovely patrons bring to my attention that she prefers to listen to the content, even the video content that uploads. And I had not uploaded an audio-only version of my recent interview with Mandisa Thomas, the president and founder of Black Nonbelievers. So here is the audio of that interview. And if you missed the first upload, that YouTube link is in the description box. Enjoy.
Hey, my friend. How you doing?
Doing very well.
For those who are not familiar with you or your work, Mandisa, who are you?
I am the founder and president of Black Nonbelievers Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization that provides community for and advocates for Blacks in particular who are atheist, humanist, agnostic, secular, and questioning their religious beliefs in favor of leaving.
Now, I've got to be that guy, and I totally get this because we've had this conversation, but let me play devil's advocate. Why do we need a Black nonbelievers? Aren't you just drawing a circle around a specific demographic when we should have an open tent for everyone? Why do you need Black nonbelievers? I'll just throw it out there, a question you've heard very often.
Mm-hmm.
And your response is what?
Well, when you look at the statistics, when you review the statistics from Pew Research, the Black community is still very, very high among believers. And this creates a challenge when many of us question and leave religion. And even according to the most recent Black Non-Religious Americans report, which was released jointly with American Atheists, Black non-religious Americans face higher levels of depression and concealment due to the high level of religiosity in the Black community. And that religiosity is due to the very, very heavy influence of the church.
Well, if I can jump in, Mandisa.
Sure.
Philosophically speaking, we've spoken about how drawing attention to a marginalized group or a specific demographic is not problematic if you're focusing on their needs.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, can you kind of flesh that? I mean, you know there's a target audience of people who desperately need you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you kind of take that wherever you want? But Black non-believers, I mean, you are focusing on a group that's has long been either marginalized or maybe not even been paid attention to?
Absolutely. And so with our organization, we, first of all, provide that encouragement for other Black folks that they are not alone and that there is more representation, that there's access to more resources that they may not have thought were available because they're still so surrounded by religious family members and friends. It does make a difference who is providing that support and who can directly relate to those communities and to those demographics. It lets them know that it's okay and that there is direct support, not to say that there isn't direct support in other organizations, but when you see people who look like you and who can better directly relate to what you're going through, it not only helps them, but it helps our movement.
Well, I may be getting this wrong, but when I look out, I can't think of a demographic that is more attached to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's almost like if you leave religion, mm-hmm. as at least here in the United States, a Black American, you didn't just leave your religion. You left the Black community. You betrayed your race. Would you say that's accurate?
Well, I actually was accosted by a woman who said I did exactly that and, a few years ago.
You betrayed us all. You betrayed your people.
She said she could not believe that as a Black woman that I had the nerve to identify as an atheist because of the struggles that our community has faced. We've also received correspondence where someone told us to take Black off of our name because our community has suffered enough. So there is such a strong emotional tie to religion and the church that is amplified in Black communities. And the very existence of Black atheists can be an affront to a number of people. And it's powerful when we stand up and we discuss the history. We are disrupting a narrative within Black communities. That's very important. There's been a history of humanism, free thought, atheism, and secularism that has long been ignored because of this emotional tie and because of this idea that we still absolutely need the church, even though in many ways it has been detrimental.
So we're talking about Frederick Douglass, et cetera, right? Douglass, more of the Civil War era, but civil rights movement stuff, I mean, people talk about MLK and a religious figure, the Reverend, right?
Correct.
Who helped to lead us over the bridge, so to speak, or at least toward a more egalitarian society. And there's no acknowledgement of the people who were not reverends, who were part of that fight.
That is correct. And Frederick Douglass, in his 1852 oration, in which he spoke against pro-slavery Christianity, and he said he welcomes atheists and anyone who is on the side of human rights and liberation. And W.E.B. Du Bois, who was one of the founders of the NAACP.
Do you feel like that there is a culture of people who are defending the very institution that enslaved them?
There is, and it's ironic that so many people, or so many Black folks, feel that their belief has liberated and freed them. And when we're talking about the era of Jim Crow and the era of when the Ku Klux Klan were at their peak and their height, and when there were laws that effectively disfranchised the Black community, and kept and attempted to keep them in a permanent underclass. Faith was what many people relied on. And it's understandable that those communities were a support system. You know, we get that. However, it is still an irony, because those same people who were oppressing them believed in the same God. They certainly held the same beliefs. And it does a disservice when we ignore that, you know, when we talk about, well, those weren't real Christians. And when there are passages in the Bible that can justify peaceful actions and also violent actions, that doesn't deserve to be ignored in any way. And that is often an elephant in the room conversation. When we start talking about racial justice and anti-racism, Christianity, and its role in white supremacy, and how it's often framed in a way that, well, you know, there are certain passages, yeah, sure, there are bad Christians that which we know, but then it ignores the doctrine in its entirety, and it just really has really created not just confusion, but this idea that, well, these particular institutions were so helpful and they helped build up, and to an extent they did.
I mean, they provided a lot of infrastructure and even moral support, maybe is the way I'm trying to say it, right?
Yes.
There was an inspirational aspect to it, certainly.
Absolutely, and certainly in the music, you know, gospel music is certainly very inspirational in Black communities and beyond as well. However, I do charge the church and its institutions with upholding respectability politics and not addressing vital issues of health and economics, as well as overcoming, you know, racism. Now it's become like a farce. You know, it's become. This thing where it did play a pivotal role in civil rights, even though it has hijacked the history. It did play a vital role in organizing people. But now it has gotten to the point where it has become sensationalized, that people don't even take, you know, the history and the vital role that the church played. They don't take it seriously anymore.
It's almost like God walking the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. I mean, essentially, the Christian religion is getting credit for...
Absolutely. For the civil rights and human rights efforts. And that way, the narrative does get distorted. And it is seen as a religious movement that led us out of this oppression, when in fact, it was these belief, you know, people who held those same beliefs that played a huge part in the oppression in the first place. So there's so much to unpack there.
I get it. It's not a, it won't fit in a Twitter post, but it's, you know, it's interesting. Plus, you've got the white supremacy crowd waving their Bibles to excuse.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely, they do.
Are they quoting the slavery verses in the Bible, or do you think it's that overt? Or do you think they're just bigots and they've just decided that the Bible is a white book? Like, we've all seen white Jesus.
Right, yes. So I think it's a mixture of things. You know, I thought it was very, when we look at the insurrection and how they were saving this country, you know, saving its, you know, saving its values. Meanwhile, there were people who got seriously injured, hurt, and died as a result of their actions. So there's definitely a hypocrisy there when it comes to, you know, what it means to be saving this country.
Concern for your fellow men and women kind of thing, yeah.
Correct.
Now, who are you really protecting? You know, it's
right.
A little conspicuous.
Yes, absolutely.
So I know this is a shock to you, Mandisa, but I'm white. I mean, steel yourself for just a moment, right? But I mean, a fair criticism of the freethought movement, secular atheist activism, has been that too often it has looked almost exclusively like me,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean, I'm not apologizing for the color of my skin. A lot of people are already going there. Oh, Seth's going to apologize for being a white male. But that's not where I'm going is, we want a movement that looks like us.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this has been something that you're speaking to very forthrightly and very frankly, right? For a long time, we have had a diversity problem.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk to me about your perspective on this and where we are and what you think we might become?
Right. So I will say that I have seen some really, really good changes and movement in this community. I have seen a shift in the subject matter and how there are aspects of society that impact our community. And there is genuine interest in wanting our organizations and our entities to be more diverse.
You feel like people are starting to listen to, like, hey.
Yes. Yes, I do think that there are. But of course, you have your folks who are pushing back on that. You know, they think that simply punching down on religion is what we should be focusing on, when they don't realize how that further impacts communities of color and what that would look like for them to come into a community where other parts of their humanity are being dismissed. And we have taken on this culture of sensationalism and wanting to have prominent voices, which there's nothing wrong with. And I certainly love what you bring to the table, Seth.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm easy. You know, I'm not trying to make it about me at all. I think
right.
I was just trying to get ahead of somebody in the comments section who's holy shit, a white male is talking to a black female. But I mean, obviously, I have been speaking and asking the question, as a white dude who came out of Bible Belt, Oklahoma, how can I help? What can I do? Because many times I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
And a lot of what I'm hearing is, you need to shut up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is part of that exercise for me. I want to know more about what the need is, and perhaps what we can be doing to help support you, right?
Yes. So, of course, I think it's always important to feature and highlight and better amplify those voices of color people like myself and others within the Black non-religious demographic and other the Latino community, more women, hearing and listening to what we have to say, and also taking the suggestions that we give and actually implementing them. Because it's one thing to have this conversation over and over again, but if nothing is changing, then it's moot. So I think one of the best things to do is to not just simply shut up and listen, but to listen to understand and listen to try to make those necessary changes and work together on them. And the best way people can do that is to better support the work of people of color, and contribute however they can. And also, again, incorporate more people of color into leadership. So there are a number of things that, and helping to put more of those voices on the forefront really does make a difference.
Well, you know, I can imagine if Black communities are so churched, somebody might see someone like you on stage or on a YouTube video or on the Black Non-Believers website and have that oh shit moment. Like, I didn't know this existed. Like, I didn't realize that I had an option.
Yes.
To doubt, to be a skeptic, to not believe. And all of a sudden they think, wait a minute, if it's possible for them, maybe it's possible for me. Or maybe they're on to something, right?
Yes.
I mean, I guess that speaks to someone who looks like them.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It really does. And for those folks who did feel isolated for so long and who did not see people like me and others being represented on prominent shows, they may have thought that it wasn't, you know, it was pointless for them to say anything. But I appreciate when people are encouraged by our appearances and what we do, because it is for them.
Yeah.
It is for them to feel more encouraged, to be more empowered, to get involved, and for us to start working together, because I can't be the only one doing this. I'm not the only one out here. There are more of us. And if it helps bring about more leaders, participants, content creators, then we're doing what we're supposed to do. And we can't do this forever.
Oh, I think too, you know, you want to, not necessarily duplicate yourself, but I think we want to sort of bring more people into the Absolutely. Endeavor that we are engaged in.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Because again, the more we do bring people out, the more we realize that this is us. You know, that this movement is more than just a white male dominated entity. And I think the more people allow for, you know, their platforms to feature more people of color and more diverse people involved in the movement, that does make a difference, because people who don't think they can do anything might be inspired. You know, people don't have to feel like, you know, they have to be completely accredited in some way in order to have a voice.
Sure, I'm not a great podcaster, or I don't have my own TV channel, or
right.
I'm not a great author, so how right. can I ever contribute?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we really want this to be a movement of the people that are every day, you know, that sometimes are just, you know, living day to day. You know, they have families, you know, they have jobs, and it's important that they are encouraged and empowered to be a part of our community. So it makes a huge difference.
What's that line? It sounds kind of like a Hallmark card, but I mean, if you help one person, you didn't change the world, but you changed their world.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, somebody was there for me, somebody was there for you, so now we get to be there for other people.
Yes.
Mandisa, what can we do for you? How in the world do we get behind what these endeavors are? Black non-believers specifically, give me an end zone or a place to go, okay?
Yes, so of course, first and foremost, we would love for people to consider donating to our organization. We are a nonprofit organization, 501c3, And that support helps our liberation work. You know, we are encouraging and empowering people to liberate themselves from those beliefs and to be liberated in the fact that they are non-believers.
and to it's okay.
Those stigmas. It is okay.
It's okay.
Yes. And that there are more out here, and there is something that you can do to support and to support others who, again, did not think that there were others out here. And it helps support the consistency of our work and our contributions to this movement. So first and foremost, please do consider donating to our organization and donating regularly.
If I was still a believer, I'd be like, you're doing the Lord's work, Mandisa. You're doing the Lord's work. Amen, sister. You are changing the world. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for Black non-believers, and thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.